In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome to A Word for Life. This is Pastor John Fallahy, and today's topic is the topic of partiality. And my question is, can you see the evil in your thoughts? Now, if you think about the Bible and all that it says on partiality, favoritism, what chapter, what book comes to mind? Hopefully, you're thinking James chapter 2. Let me go ahead and read several verses from James chapter 2, which will be our text as we discuss this really important topic of partiality. James 2:1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You know, someone said, I'm not partial. I like myself the best. And that really captures the essence of partiality. These personal preferences, these personal biases that show up in every encounter we have with other people. Think about your own life. How has your life been personally impacted by partiality? How many times have the scales of fairness been tampered with in your life, whether good or bad? I want to tell you a story. When I was a young person, we had gotten involved in high school, a little small little high school group, and three of us put together the YES. It was called the Youth Employment Service. And the idea of this little program was to get high school students kind of a better than average job. Well, it turned out the local newspaper had heard about this. They came out, they interviewed us, and this was back in the 80s. And they made this really cool picture, and they took our story, and I'll tell you what, that was my first experience, first time ever seeing a newspaper article where I said one thing, but they said another. It was fake news, I'll be honest with you. There was a lot of truth in the story, but it was embellished. And this newspaper article ended up getting in the hands of the local Kiwanis group. It was a group of men who were very involved in the community, and they give out this prize once a year as kids who make a difference in the community. Now, you need to understand something. We had just started this. We had not gotten any jobs. We had an idea, and it was just in the beginning stages. So we get invited for this award ceremony. And it came down to us and this Asian gentleman, young kid, very involved in the community. I'm talking very involved. And you know, the sad part was we ended up getting the award. He didn't. And my father said, son, this was really disappointing. He says, you guys did not deserve that award. That other young man did. He had made real, genuine contributions to the community. You guys had just started. And he was right. And that left a very significant impression on me as a young man, how even in the smallest things, people can show partiality. And people are no longer looking at you for your character and your conduct. Instead, they're looking outward, whether it be your color, whether it be some nationality, who knows what it is. But they're not truly looking at you for who you are. And that's sad when that happens. And we don't have to look far in our own country, through our own history, or for that matter, any other country, any other history in time. Men and women have shown partiality. This is part of the human condition. People show partiality in so many ways. Let me give you an example of a comedian who kind of captures this situation. He says he was in San Francisco, this comedian, he was walking along the Golden Gate Bridge, and he saw this guy on the bridge about to jump. So he thought he'd try to stall and detain him long enough for him to stop this guy. And he says, don't jump. And he begins to have a conversation with him. He says, why are you going to jump? Why the long face? And he said, because all my life, people have called me mean names. And so he begins a dialogue with them. And he says, God loves you. And then he says, how do you know that there's a God? He says, of course there's a God. And he says, I believe in God. And he says, are you a Christian or a Jew? And the man on the bridge responds, a Christian. And then he says, me too, Protestant or Catholic. And the man on the bridge responds, Protestant. He says, me too. What franchise? And he says, Baptist. He says, me too, Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist. The man on the bridge says, Northern Baptist. And then he responds, me too, the Northern Conservative Baptist or the Northern Liberal Baptist. He says, Northern Conservative Baptist. He says, me too, Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist or Northern Conservative Reform Baptist. He says, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist. Me too. I mean, you're sitting there going, wow, these guys have so much in common. And then he asks them, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Eastern Region? He says, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region. He says, me too. And he says, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And he says, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council 1912. And he says, die heretic. And he pushed him over. Now, that's a little extreme, but it really reveals how we can be so partial on some of the most insignificant things. Now, this is just a humorous story from the comedian, but this is what happens in real life, and the consequences are serious. You know, we need, though, to have some balance. We need discernment. We need to look at the whole picture. For example, remember the stranger danger? This was a kind of a campaign to help kids be careful around strangers. And it's really good if you can't discern whether someone is good or bad, but at some point you have to grow up and you have to discern whether a stranger is good or whether a stranger is bad. This requires discernment. This isn't what I'm talking about. That's a good kind of partiality. Martin Luther King said it best in his I Have a Dream speech during the Civil Rights Movement to express the partiality and prejudice in his day. He said this, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Isn't that the truth? Doesn't that resonate with you? Partiality, prejudice, thrives off of the externals, refuses to look past the surface, and fails to love the whole individual. There's a book we've been going through in our church called The Conscience. It's really good, and it helps us to examine how do we think and how do we judge, and are we thinking biblically and are we judging biblically? This is at the heart of partiality. I'll add one more anecdote from history. You might know Gandhi. He wrote during his student days that he read the gospel seriously and considered converting to Christianity. He believed that in Jesus, he could find the solution to the caste system that was dividing the people of India. And if you know anything about India, the caste system has been around for thousands of years, and it has excluded generations of people simply by their heritage. So one Sunday, he decided to attend services at a nearby church and talked to the minister about becoming a Christian. This story I'm about to share is not found in any of the biographies. So this is something that's been passed down. We're not sure the ultimate truth of this, but it does illustrate a very important point. When he entered the sanctuary, however, the usher refused to give him a seat and suggested that he go worship with his own people. Gandhi left the church and never returned. If Christians have caste differences also, then I might as well remain a Hindu. That usher's prejudice not only betrayed Jesus, but also turned a person away from trusting him as a savior. Whether the story is true or not, it reflects exactly what James is saying. Partiality hinders the gospel. It is a destructive way in which you destroy people's lives, all based on some personal bias that truly is unfair, prejudice, or some other wrong way of looking at people. You know, in James 2:1, he says, my brethren, do not hold. It's a command. It's a command in the Greek text. And he says, to the faith of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And another way of translating this last part, of showing acts of favoritism or social discrimination, that's what James means by partiality. Don't be showing favoritism. Don't be showing social discrimination. Because all of this will hinder the gospel. Because that kind of behavior does not reflect at all our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about the gospel. We know, because Revelation tells us, that one day in heaven, we're going to stand among all the believers of all time, from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. God shows no partiality. He desires to save all men. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter how many sins they've committed. They all need rescuing. They're all wicked and evil. Some more, some bad, but all need a Savior. You know, to claim to have and possess love of Christ and to show partiality is incongruent. It's incompatible. In other words, do not profess you are thinking and behaving like Jesus Christ when you are clearly not thinking and behaving like Jesus Christ. This is painful words to hear, but they are true words. And you got to remember who James is. James grew up in the house with Jesus as his brother. What would that be like? What is it like to grow up with the perfect Son of God? Never sinned with his mouth, never showed partiality, never sinned at all. And if these are brothers, you know that they're going to get in fights. Jesus would turn the other cheek. I mean, what an experience. And remember, James did not believe that his brother was the Messiah until after the resurrection. So when James talks about partiality, he gets it. Because number one, he's a Jew, and he knows how the Jews are partial towards the Gentiles. But then he sees his own brother, the Messiah, God in the flesh, grows up with them, sees his ministry, and watches him die on the cross, and he's raised from the dead. I think James has an insight here. And don't forget, James is also leading the church in Jerusalem. James is going to do this again and again. He's going to confront us in the reality of our faith. Are our words matching up with our life? That's the key. And if our words don't line up with our life, then the gospel is harmed. And that could hinder someone from becoming a believer. And we do not ever want to be a hindrance to the gospel. Luke 20, 21. And they, this is the spies of the chief priests, asked him, saying, "Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly, and that you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth." What a great testimony to Jesus Christ in the way that he shows no partiality. I want you to think about partiality in the way that you show partiality and favoritism, but also the flip side. Think about how others have treated you. Have they hurt you? Have they shown bias? Have they treated you differently because of who you are? That should not make you angry, but should make you humble and challenge you to not be like that. Tune in next time and we'll pick up where we left off in James chapter 2.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.